Joshua chapter number 11 and verse number 18, the Bible says, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. We talked about that Sunday. And the Bible says, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All others, the Bible says, they took in battle. Now read the last verse, verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord said to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribe. Watch it, watch it. And the Bible says, and the land rested from war. Verse number 19 says, there was not a city that made peace for the children of Israel. Verse 30 says, and the land rested from war. We're going to talk tonight, this one thought, from no peace to peace. Father, help us. Lord, I'm excited. And I ask God that tonight you fill the Spirit of God, but Lord, help me to be patient and allow you to say the things that need to be said, be said in the correct way. But help us, God, to move from no peace to peace is possible. I pray, God, to help us to grab a hold of this great truth. I pray, God, that you brand it, yes, sir, brand it in our hearts. And I pray and ask God, go down to feel that branding, that fire, that, Lord God, that warmth that it brings. But also help us to realize this fire is to set us on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that each of us will grab a hold of that peace that is so available to each of us, even when the enemy says, no, peace. Hallelujah. We can definitely have it. I pray God to help us tonight. And I pray God we'll leave out here tonight. I pray God we'll leave much encouraged, realizing that peace is on the way. Help us, dear God, I beg you. Then God, is there anything I left out? Yes, sir. Make that need as well. Oh, by the way, there's anything whatsoever between you and I that would hinder you from using my vessel. I pray God that you wash me thoroughly on the inside and the outside and make me pliable for your use. And for that, Father, I post this shop. Hallelujah. All right, that's it. And your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. From no peace to peace. I'm reminded, and some of you have probably watched it, the show, what was it, Independence Day. I remember how the president walks up to that glass window where alien is at, and he says, okay, how can we coexist? How can we live together? How can we have peace? And I know forgive that with that alien said, no peace. No peace. He said, I want y'all to die. And you know what? We have an enemy that wants us to die. We have an enemy who does not want us to have peace. But the Bible says, hold the place here, the Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and verse 33, the Bible says this about what Jesus said. In John 16 and verse number 33, the Bible says this, and the Bible says, you can mark it down, baby. The Bible says in Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, hey, these things have I spoken unto you. Why? That in me you might have what? Peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. Oh, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, my dear friends, I came, he says, I've spoken to you that in me, not in no job, not in no situation, but in me, he says, you might have peace. In the world, though, let me tell you what's going to happen. In the world, you'll have what? Tribulation. And that word tribulation means persecution. It also means trouble. Watch it. It also means pressure. Pressure. And in this world, we are going to have pressure. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trouble. But Jesus said, hey, be of good cheer. Let me tell you what that word means. It means, those three words means this, to have courage. Wow. When I looked at her, Sister Sharon, I said, Lord, but that's our theme this year. The courage to continue. He said, I know. He said, right here, be of good cheer. Have courage. Why? He says this, I have overcome, I have conquered, I have prevailed against the world.
I've whooped the world already. You can have peace in me. In spite of the pressure all around you. From the youngest person to the oldest person, there's pressure. Somebody said, Jeremiah, I ain't got no pressure. Yes, he does. They're pressuring that boy right now. Do what? To be potty trained completely. Yeah. And he's like, man, I just want to chill. I want to take it easy. They said, no, you don't know how to go to bathroom by yourself and everything work out good. That's pressure on poor Jeremiah. Amen. Everybody has pressure. Some form, some type of pressure. But Jesus says, in me, you can have peace. Amen. Now, flip back over and we'll be done. The Bible says in Joshua, well, not right away, John, but look at Joshua chapter number 11. I had to clarify. I know y'all, y'all just get, walk out. But look what it says right here. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 11 and verse 9, number 19, the Bible says this. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel. Now that word peace in this verse means to be friendly. It means to be in a covenant or a contract or an agreement of peace. There was no city except the Bible says the Hivites, which were the Gibeonites, that had peace with Israel. Now remember, this is a type of the Christian life. So therefore, if this is a type of the Christian life, we have entered into the Christian life, but now that we're saved by difference, it's not like everything inside of us or anything around us wants us to have peace. Your flesh doesn't want you to have any peace whatsoever. None. Nada. Your flesh wants to fight with you. Your flesh wants no agreement with you. What flesh? A preacher. Your sin nature. Your sin nature wants to sin. It don't want to stop sinning. That's why we struggle so much with certain things. Man, we'll be battling and battling, but some of us ain't doing no battling. We just get in. We just go with the flow. Just flow. We flow around life like this. We'll be doing. But you know what? If you and I want to have peace and move from no peace to peace, do you know what we're going to have to do? Got to fight. All these nations said no peace. So Joshua said, okay, y'all going to get whooped. In our nation, for example, Paul says, no war, no war. Nobody in their right mind wants war. War means death. But hey, if we don't fight, what do you think is going to happen? Those who want to conquer us are going to conquer us. Do your research. Study out World War II and World War I. Especially World War II. When Hitler was going all across Europe and defeating those various nations, most folks wanted to stay out of it. They wanted to stay out of it. They ain't not bothering us. But what he would do is whoop one, whoop the next, and then turn around and whoop the, and start fighting the same ones he had made a so-called peace agreement with. So what are we supposed to do? Just sit back and do nothing? Listen, what are you trying to tell us, preacher? In order to have peace. Say again, Brother Leonard. You got to fight. In order to have peace, you got to fight. So, preacher, that's contradictory. Mm-mm. If you want peace in your home, you want to have to fight. Somebody, I've been waiting on that preacher. Let me go get him. I'm going, no. Fight your anger. Fight your hostility. Fight your desire to get revenge. Or you waiting for your opportunity to come so you can get back at that person. You got to fight against that. Because that wants to overcome you. It wants to overwhelm you, my dear friends, and cause you not to have peace, but to have misery. Waiting for revenge. But you got to fight against that. Fight against not forgiving someone. Fight, my dear friends. Fight, fight. If we want to have peace in those areas, peace and victory in those areas, you and I have to fight against it. You got to. Because if you don't fight against it, it's going to overwhelm you. A bully will continue to bully you until you pop in the mouth. You know, I'm not saying I'm just going to beat them up. I'm just saying, you know, a boy's going to push you around until you get tired and pop them in the mouth. Y'all heard me tell the story, true story, about me and my sister, that family down the street from us on the south side, 710 South Carpenter Street. Some things just remember. But they always was chasing us, always chasing us. We'd be running, me and Pam, we'd running. We'd go to the store, and we had to see if we see them. And if they saw us, they chased us. We'd come out the store, we'd go run to the house. And finally, we got tired of all that running. We was about 8, 9 years old. And so they was right there in the gangway between the building we lived in. We started dumping water on them, you know. And I just got tired of putting water in the pot, and I grabbed the water that was in the sink. I didn't know. What y'all think was in that water? Yeah. Hit that boy's head, he started hollering. Ah! I'm like, I thought it was just water. His whole family came down there. But like I told y'all, my grandmother was a gunslinger. She was sitting in the window. Y'all better get, but anyhow, though, we never had more problems out of them. We have no more problems out of them. It's the same thing, my dear friends, with the things that are fighting against us, they want to destroy us. If we are going to win or conquer them, listen, my dear friends, we have to fight. Why? Because number one, my friends, the attitude of the enemy, number one, the attitude of the enemy is no peace. No peace. The enemy says, the Bible says, verse 19, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites that are the inhabitants of Gibeon. All others they took in battle. They took those cities by war. By fighting is how they won those battles. But now watch this. For it was the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle. These nations had a hard heart toward Israel. We said, well, preacher, the Lord gave them hard hearts. No, they already had hard hearts. All he did was harden them, my friends, because they would not turn to the true and the living God. Some of them, Rahab was on the other side, but she saw the works of God, and she believed in God. Same thing with the Gibeonites. They came and made allegiance with the children of Israel. These folks who they were fighting against had for hundreds and hundreds of years fought against the people of God. They did not want God. Remember Pharaoh? Let me show you Pharaoh. Look at Exodus chapter number 11, and look at verse number 10. Exodus chapter number 11, and look at verse number 10. Look what the Bible says right here. Exodus chapter number 11 and verse number 10. The Bible says this. The Bible says in verse number 10, Exodus chapter 11, and Moses and Aaron did all their wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. But he had already been hardening his heart before that. So, preacher, but this ain't right. Somebody else said that same thing. Look with me over to Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter 9, look at verse number 15. We have a God that's merciful. We have a God that's long-suffering. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 2, the God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He gives us ample opportunity to turn to God. Look, it says in Romans chapter number 9, chapter 9, and look at verse number 15. The Bible says this. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that what? Showeth mercy. Mercy, my dear friends, is not something that you deserve. If you do wrong and your mom and your dad don't whip you behind, it's called mercy. You're not getting what you deserve. But at some point, my dear friends, the judgment of God will fall. All the people who have rejected Christ will reject God, my friends, at one time or at a time in the near future, they are going to be thrown in the fiery furnace or in the pit, my friends, electrified and be separated from God forever. But it's not because God was being mean to them, but it's because, my dear friends, they did not want any part of God. So what happens is this. There comes a time sometimes, friends, when you harden your heart so much, the God will keep it hard, and you won't have an opportunity to be saved. But it's not because God's being mean or ugly or unkind, but God is being just. Let me show you. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says this. Well, look at verse number 8 or verse 17. The Bible says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore have he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth.
Thou wilt say then, this is what you'll say because of that. This is what you say then unto me. Why does he yet find fault then? That word there means blame. How does God blame then? So who have resisted his will? Who can withstand God's will? Who can withstand God's, who can oppose God's will, God's desire? Watch this. Nay, no, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God? That word there means, or those two words replies against, means to dispute, to contradict God, to reply against God. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What are we talking about? We are talking about the sovereignty of a true and living God. My dear friends, by us sitting in this church today, you know why we're here? Because of God's mercy. There was a time, my friends, when we opposed to God, we rejected God, but God had mercy. But God didn't have to. He didn't have to. But by the way, my dear friends, plenty of times there are many folks who have resisted God, don't want any part of God, who God's got an ample opportunity, but at some time and point, my friends, their hearts may become hard. And maybe God, their hearts are hard, because God is not only sovereign, but God is also omniscient. He knows all things. All things. So I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the fact that I'm in the house of God. Because I could be running these streets right here, having no desire to be a part of God. I can't remember how many times I've heard preachers preach about somebody being under heavy conviction. Heavy conviction. Almost coming right down the aisle to receive Christ. And then walk away. And then they never get that desire again. Listen, when the Lord's speaking to your heart, when the Lord's prompting you, that's the time to move. Because you can't just decide one day, I'm just going to get saved today. It takes the Spirit of God that draws you. And it's up to you, my dear friends, to not only heed the call, my friends, but trust the Savior as your Savior. What are you saying, preacher? God is a fair God. God is a just God. God is not a God that's trying to hurt anybody. God wants all people to be saved, but all people won't be saved. And it's not God's fault, my friends. God's given us a free will. A free will. Now flip back over with me. These folks had hundreds of years to come to a God, but they would not. And now the Bible says God is hardening their hearts. And then watch this. We see the hardening of the heart, and then we see the cutting down of the giants. The Bible says in verse number 20, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no, have no favor, no grace, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. Then the Bible says in verse 21, and at that time came Joshua and called, he destroyed the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Who are these? These are the giants. Don't y'all remember when they went in the land and spied out? When they spied the land out, they said, man, we see these big giants. We can't whoop them. But then Caleb and Joshua said, oh, yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can take them. We can take them. But the 10 other guys said, no, we can't. No, we can't. Well, now, guess what? They take them. They take down the giants. Now, what does that mean to us? There's giants in every person's life that's here. If you're living and breathing, there's a giant in your life. But whatever that giant is that's in your and my life, we have a God that can enable us to take down that giant. We can take down that giant. Listen, guys. We don't have to live in this world just getting pushed around by the devil every which way but loose, my dear friends. No. But we have to fight back. We gotta fight back. I know sometimes we become overwhelmed. Sometimes, my dear friends, we get broken down. And it's like, man, why? 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 Why should just quit? The day me and Steve went to the gym and working out, and we were sitting there and we was doing all that stuff, you know, and it came time when she gave like 5 seconds to rest. That's 5 seconds. But I remember sitting there, the 5 seconds. And this thought crossed my mind. Not quit, but it was close. It was like, big injury. It wasn't that either, but it was this. I said, is this worth it? I said, this is worth it. You know? I mean, she's sitting there, and one time, you know, because we sitting, we from the back. See, in the back, you figure people can't see you in the back. You know, so we back in the back, you know? And then, we was doing something. We was doing one thing where we was squat jumping. Good Lord. We would have to come down like this, and we was going this, and we were jumping up like this, and jumping up like this. And then I had,
Because she said you can take time. So I was like, this here. Pray for me. And then she said, hey, back in the bag. Come on. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. But Paul was like, man, what's the use of this? Why am I doing this? Why am I killing myself here? Why am I sweating like this? Well, you know what? I felt bad afterwards, though. See, sometimes, my friend, just fighting will make you feel better. I'm trying to think about this. Don't raise your hand, none of that kind of stuff. But think about this. When you and I give in to our flesh, how do you feel? Seriously. We feel defeated. I've blown it again. Man. But now, think of this. What about the times when you fight against your flesh, you don't give in, and you're like, man, praise God. You're like, hallelujah, man, I'm talking about praise God. Woo! And it gives you courage. But when you give in, guess what? It's a lot easier to give in the next time. And then the next time. The next thing you know, you're like, man, how did I get way over here? Maybe, because we stopped fighting. We just kind of gave in. We quit. We wondered, is it worth it? What's the use of it? I mean, I'm like I'm going nowhere. Like I'm getting anywhere. Like I'm not going forward. Like I'm just, I'm frustrated. See, Israel had dealt with that for 40 years in the wilderness. See, they ain't Canaan now, baby. They ain't Canaan. It's time to fight. We're going to fight these giants. And we're going to see later on, not tonight, later on, though, specifically how some of these giants were defeated. But notice what he says in the latter part of the verse. Only in Gaza, and Gath, and Ashdod, there remained. There were some giants that were left. And if you're familiar with some of this, you know that one of these are the giants that deals with who? Goliath. There were some that remained. That's another sermon for another moment. But then we see, my friends, the reaping of the reward. Verse number 23. The Bible says this. The Bible says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, by their sections. The word tribes means by their branch. In other words, when they had defeated all this land, then, my dear friends, they reaped the rewards. They got their inheritance. And we're going to see some of that in the next chapters, some of the inheritance that the children of Israel were able to receive. You know what? The Bible tells us that you and I can have some rewards too. And I'm not talking about the sweet by and by. Look at me what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Galatians 6 and look at verse number 9. And hopefully this encourages us tonight. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 9. The Bible, we've heard this verse. We've heard it. We haven't read it. We've heard it. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 that Paul says to the church, the blood-bought born-again believers, he says, hey, and let us not, he's talking about himself, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't quit, if we don't fall off, he says, man, we're going to reap. You know how it is sometimes? You do good, and like other folks still doing bad. You're like, I'm tired of being a good person here. I want to be, they walk around fine. They do what they want to do. I'm happy. Well, you know what? I'm going to do my thing then. You know what's going to happen? Everybody will be jacked up. Why I got to be the one? Come on, y'all. Why I got to be the one? I got to be the one to pray. We're going to pray. Everybody be like, well, I guess I'm going to pray. The friends, I ain't praying either. I'm not. Your husband said, you know you need to be praying. I ain't praying. I'm always the one that pray. I'm always the one. I'm always doing everything. You know, I gotta walk around and pick up behind everybody. I gotta go by and do all this stuff. But why I got to wash the dishes all the time? Amen. Preacher, she said. I don't know y'all, but sometimes in our house, man, it's just like the, I'm sorry for you, but sometimes, I mean, like the dishes just start piling up.
grown folks. And we got no babies at the house. But as long as I'm like, well, I ain't doing it. Especially the garbage. I feel like, this is helping, this is therapy for me. This is good. So I feel like sometimes, everybody be like, well, I want to see how high the garbage can get before it hits the ground. Right. I'm like, this is my job. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, so, and probably they feel the same way. Why don't he get it? Why don't they? I mean, I mean, come on, it's like, it'd be like, I mean, here's the garbage can. But the garbage is up here, you know? And it's like, you just go, and now I got to pick the bag up, all this stuff over here, you know? And I, you know, I guess I'm happy, singing Sweet Jesus. I guess I love, I ain't happy! Put all the stuff in there, tie the bag all up, over here we go. Your flesh, you want to take that bag and just go, woo! Stuff fly everywhere. Garbage empty. All over the floor. I know y'all better than I am. But I'm just saying, though. I mean, you have these kind of thoughts. At least I do. I mean, you know, but what's that going to solve? No. Not one thing. So what do you do? The Bible says right here, let's not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. I know Jordan the same way. She got the clothes and you know how we all got socks? You know, for some reason we can't get them straight. They always got to be balled up. We ain't like to unball themselves in a washing machine. No, I don't. You know, I'm helping folks today. I mean, you better come to the altar now, son. But anyhow, what are you saying? Keep doing good. Keep doing right. And God's going to bless you. Let me give you this. Because we need peace right now. Look over at Joshua chapter number 11 and verse 23. The Bible says this, and Joshua took the whole ram according to all that the Lord said to Moses, and Joshua gave it for inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the Bible says, and the land rested from what? From war. And that word rested here also means to be quiet. There was quietness from what? From war, from battle. From fighting. But what did it start with, though? Fighting. Before they could have rest from the battle, before they could have rest from the fight, they had to fight. They had to fight. They had to fight the enemies that were trying to keep them in a place of war and no peace. The same thing with you and I. There are things inside of us, in our nature, that we have got to fight. And if we don't fight it, my dear friends, we're going to stay in battle. But if you want to have peace, you got to fight. From no peace to peace. But it starts with a fight. Now don't go home fighting each other. No, fight your flesh. Fight your flesh desires to retaliate. To go, and I can list a whole bunch of things. You know, you go to Galatians, it gives you all the things of the flesh and all that kind of stuff. But you know some of these things, what I'm saying. And that doesn't matter anyway. It all depends on what's flashing in your mind right now. And all around my mind too, there's something flashing in my mind right now. So you know what? You just start fighting that. Or, you just keep fighting that. Keep fighting that. Two questions, we're done. First question is this. Do you want peace in your home? Do you want peace in your home? And if you want to flip that word, say family. You want peace in your family. The second question is this. This is very key. Are you fighting to get this peace? Are you fighting to get this peace? And the last one's a statement. Let's ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance to know, watch this now, to know how to fight. So it's important to know how to fight. Whatever you're dealing with, it's important to know how to fight against it. So let's ask God to give us wisdom and direction so we know how to fight against it. And then we'll win the victory. Father, thank you for my brothers and my sisters who have gathered here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of God that lives inside of us, that speaks to us, that helps us, and that encourages us. Now I just pray, God, this, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters, that if we need to come and talk to you for a few moments, maybe we need to get some more supply, some more strength, Lord, to continue to fight. If we're not, if we already started fighting, we need strength to continue to fight. We've not started. God, help us come with the strength to begin to fight. Whatever the case might be, Father, I pray, God, we come to you, talk to you, and listen to what you say to us. And then whatever direction you give us, God, help us to walk by faith. Trust you. Make the steps. Trust you. And watch you give us a victory that we long to have. And Father, this is my desire tonight, Lord, please. This is my desire. That every person here will leave this building realizing that they can have peace in the midst of pressure. Well, let me say again, Father, that they can have peace in the midst of pressure. That's what the Bible says in John 16:33. Help us, dear God, I beg you. If there's anything else, any other need that I didn't mention that you've been dealing with people's hearts about, I pray God to come talk to you about those matters. Maybe there's somebody who wants to come and say something to this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's it. In your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Maybe come talk to the Lord for just a few moments. Let's come talk to him and then listen to him and see what he has to say to us and then respond the way that God would have us to respond. And let's sing.